8-year-old Sam was talking about struggles with forgiveness, struggles with figuring out how and when to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. What I didn't mention with the children is that he also struggles with autism. I thought I'd focus on the forgiveness piece with them, and that could be a different story with a different lesson. But Sam's autism makes it tougher for him to develop friendships with kids his own age. And he's not as skilled as some of the others at sharing with his peers their happiness or their problems. Another aspect of Sam's multidimensional life involves his tender relationship with his grandfather, whose name is Dan Gottlieb. Some of you might know Dr. Daniel Gottlieb, his grandfather, because he does an NPR show, Voices in the Family, and he also is a contributing writer to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Dan Gottlieb has written 2 books about his grandson, Sam, and their relationship. One is called Letters to Sam, and the other is The Wisdom of Sam. One of the catalysts for writing about his grandchild with autism was Dan Gottlieb's awareness that as Sam talks about the world, there are numerous times when he actually sees it more clearly than many of the adults do. That being said, Grandpa Dan also has a pretty clear and important way of seeing things himself. Part of that is attributed to the fact that he himself is a quadriplegic. One day, Dan was driving. Oncoming truck had a severe accident. A wheel and tire together came off the vehicle, rolled and bounced, and came through his windshield and severely injured him. Dan says that he spent at least a year with seething rage that was directed towards the truck driver. At times, he says he was consumed with a violent and sadistic set of fantasies to hurt that man. Later, he found out that actually a tire and rubber company was really to blame for the accident. Within the company, engineers and managers had pre-existing knowledge of wheel design flaw, and yet they continued with manufacturing and distributing the product. When Dan learned that information, he started wishing a lifetime of unhappiness to those who contributed to his suffering. This past Wednesday night was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. The Jewish tradition encourages people to greet the New Year with serious introspection, self-evaluation, and prayer. We are now in the 10 days of repentance, which will culminate this coming Thursday with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I've come to believe with more and more certainty every year that we Unitarian Universalists benefit spiritually, tremendously, by participating in this tradition, which also focuses on forgiveness, and is so much a living part of the roots and history of our faith tradition. During the high holy days, it is helpful to consider that we all wear 3 hats. We all play 3 roles in the human dynamic. First, we're all members of the community granting transgressors permission to be admitted alongside of us. Whether we're not remembering or feeling any grievance against us at this time, or if we have been wronged by somebody not paying enough attention to us at an important time, or if we have had our life tragically altered by the sins of others, we all have the capacity for powerful compassion. Second, we are all transgressors who are being granted permission to take part. In this role, we all have at least a bit of the outcast or sinner in us. Or you could say, nobody is perfect, everybody makes mistakes. Third, I want you guys to really listen to this one. We all have the spark of the divine in us. We all have inherent dignity and worth. We all have the ability to make helpful judgments about how we can go forward in the living of our lives. Some call this participating in God's holy court with that spark of the divine in you. It's truly powerful to stay mindful of how we all play multiple roles in this drama of life. And whether we're talking about the wrongs we ourselves have committed or the wrongs done to us, we need to be mindful, because either way, the smaller and larger offenses can add up on our souls. So many of us believe we have to break it down and do regular house cleaning. We can benefit from doing this spiritual work on a weekly, if not daily, basis, not just once a year. How many times a month do you have to do laundry for your clothes? I would guess there would be a similar number to how often we need to do our own emotional or spiritual cleaning. At this time of year, many Jewish people reflect thoroughly to the point of reviewing their checkbooks and calendars to see what they have been putting their resources to, how they've been spending their time in those efforts and activities. Have I been a kind and positive person? Oh, I see that expenditure. That was that night. I was not the best friend to Sally that night. It's good to remember that at this time. So here's some things to think about in doing your review. These come from Rabbi Michael Lerner, who's a national leading Jewish voice. This comes from a publication called Tikkun magazine. Number one, forgiveness means remembering that everyone sometimes makes bad choices. Everyone sometimes makes bad choices. Everyone makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Perfect people can get up and go, this maybe is not their holiday. We'll meet you at coffee hour. Number two, forgiveness means having the courage to face the truth. Yeah, during that meeting, I was a schmuck. Three people told me I was a schmuck. That's enough evidence. Let's deal with that as a fact. It doesn't feel good, but it's the truth. Number three, forgiveness means honoring our feelings without taking revenge. I am really, really mad at you. You left me on that one. You left me hanging. I don't know if what you were thinking. It seems to me like you weren't thinking. But I'm hurting and mad. But I'm not going to use that to hurt you. You know, maybe we can talk about it, maybe we can't. But I'm not going to act out of that pain to cause more pain. Number four, forgiveness means deciding to correct our mistakes instead of punishing ourselves. A lot of times when I make a mistake, I want to hide, go away, beat myself up, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, oh yeah, let's still keep thinking about this. But instead of doing all that, it's better to say sorry and change your behavior. Make amend your behavior, change your behavior. Don't say sorry if you're not going to change your behavior. That's better off to not say sorry at all. Okay, so those are the goals for reflecting. These are tall goals for handling our feelings of injustice or pain and suffering. How do we accomplish that? That can feel overwhelming sometimes when we're mired in it. Yes, we have spiritual teachers and beacons of forgiveness that we should. This is one of the reasons we come to church, to hold these people up. We need to hold on to Nelson Mandela, coming out of prison after 27 years, encouraging all the people who have decades of grievances against the people who ran apartheid. Let us all engage in forgiveness and move forward. They planned forgiveness on Robben Island Prison. That's a beacon. We need to hold up Mandela's compatriot, Bishop Tutu, who took their learnings to the people of Rwanda a year after genocide in 94 and told Hutus and Tutsis alike, sitting there, people who had lost their entire families to genocide, move on to forgiveness now, because without it, there is no future. people who have lost everything being told, move on to forgiveness now because without it there's no future. That is human spiritual wisdom for the ages. We need to hold up the powerful inspiration of the Amish community here in Pennsylvania who made national news by publicly forgiving the gunman, Charles Roberts, who opened fire in their school and wounded 5 children and killed 5 more before he killed himself. And yet, immediately, they started talking about forgiveness and acting out of forgiveness. Members of that Amish community directly went to Robert's family and comforted them. They held his father in their arms as he wailed, crying, feeling loss, and comforted him. 30 members of the community went to his funeral with love in their hearts, and they set up a charitable fund to support his deceased loved ones who had lost a breadwinner and an earner in their family. We need to be mindful of the beacons, but we also have to take it down a level and be mindful and pay attention, be grateful for the people directly in our lives who are giving and getting forgiveness. We need to watch the people we can sit with and touch and listen to directly and see their faces. And no, that was not easy. Recently, I had 2 colleagues who are very dedicated and hardworking, but one of them realized that he had taken something too personally, reacted too quickly, overreacted, and he wrote a loving email saying, "My ego, self-esteem, balance got out of whack. I overreacted. I'm sorry. I want to get back with you in harmony." We need to think about when you're getting ready to go into either giving or asking for forgiveness, it can be very tough. We can feel vulnerable. Who's the person or people in your rock? Who's your rock? Who is your most trustworthy, reliable person? You don't have to go necessarily to them and go over the whole thing. That could be helpful in preparation. But bring them in your mind's eye to have them right there with you in your heart, knowing I have this person as support. These are the ways that we can get there. We need that direct love that we receive from others. One day, 8-year-old Sam asked the nurse to help move Grandpa from his wheelchair to the couch so that Sam could lay his head in Grandpa's lap as they watched a movie together. Half the time, they didn't pay any attention to the film. They just looked in each other's eyes and felt this tremendous, tender affection and unconditional love that they have with one another. That's the kind of fuel which has allowed Dan Gottlieb to move towards forgiveness for the engineers and management people who made that tragic mistake in distributing that wheel. This is the kind of fuel we use for remembering that everyone makes bad choices at times. We can honor our feelings without taking revenge. I just watched a video of Dan talking about forgiveness, and he has a method of daily efforts which is kind of similar to what I do. Here's how I do it in forgiveness. I'm aware, I, Kent Mathias, do solemnly swear that I'm aware that on most days I have more than my share of boneheaded moments. I act grouchy, cut people off, judge people, and more. But I also know that I'm a loving person with an inclination towards goodness. Does this sound familiar? Because I think this is a reality most every single person I know can use. You fill in the blanks. But when I get it wrong, I try and say I'm sorry as fast as possible, try and change my behavior then. I forgive myself, try to forgive myself in order to get back to my fundamentally good self. And when I remember all the ways I am off and can and want to do better, my heart softens and I let go of resentments stored up towards others. Now, this process of knowing your true self, following your gut, is a part of what's called mitzvah, which involves discerning and knowing God's will, or discerning what is ethical behavior for you. You are dedicated to being an ethical person, making the world a better place. How do you get back into alignment with that direction? Now, one little side note I want to say. It's important when we're saying I'm sorry and changing our behavior, it doesn't always have to be directly connected to the same person involved in that situation. You might be rude to a waiter, and you're never going to see that waiter again. You can be extra kind and encouraging to the next waiter. That's a way of making amends to the world. This type of thing is a part of the adjustments. Dan Gottlieb could have spent his entire life after that accident as an embittered, disassociated person. He also lost a wife to cancer, a sister to cancer, went through another divorce. He did not stay embittered. He positively re-engages with the world day after day after day. An imperfect guy who makes mistakes. But he says that he believes forgiveness is a spiritual process which requires faith. Not necessarily faith in a higher power, but faith that broken hearts heal. Faith that we have all the resources we need to recover and be loving and compassionate once again. Faith in the knowledge that true healing is not about reclaiming yesterday, but fully opening up to today. Lewis Smedes is a Christian theologian. He says it another way. When we forgive, we come as close as any human being can to the essentially divine act of creativity. With forgiveness, Sam drew the river, cutting through the mountain pass with a miraculous rainbow arcing out. We all become more divinely creative when we put down the toxic burdens of resentments. Hey, I noticed at that party we're at, I know you have a little bit of a gripe with Sally, but you were hilarious. And your using that humor was really lifting her up, and we both know she's down. Creativity. You could have focused on the anger. No, you turned it around and did some healing yourself. We can do those things if we find ways to put down the fear or self-anger and free ourselves up to take full advantage of what life has to offer right now. There's five things I'm mad about that life could have been, should have been right now, but no, I'm going to focus on what it is and the blessings that are. People can transform the world when we dedicate ourselves to love. People can transform the world when we dedicate ourselves to love. It is good to become right-sized and feel the glory and joy of new ways and the new year. Blessings be. Amen.